I was recently thinking through some books in our library while I was thinking about what to say to you today. And I quickly came across a famous essay by G.K. Chesterton, which seemed to give me a clue as to how I should begin. It was called A Defense of Rash Vows. My mother just becoming familiar with Chesterton, and I'm astonished at how contemporary some of his writing is. What is a rash vow? What is it to be rash? It's to be hasty, impetuous, reckless. Well, you sitting in these front rows could not reasonably be accused of that. You've been thinking of this day implicitly or explicitly for some time. So, you're not being rash. But many people in the world would think you were being just that. How can anyone make a promise about their life, gamble on salvation through a very rickety institution populated by the flotsam and jetsam of the Catholic Church that we call the Order of Preachers? Another meaning of the word rash is to undertake an action without due regard for the consequences. You cannot have due regard for the consequences because you don't know what they're going to be. If we bind ourselves, it is to be constant in this way, in this tradition, and in this company, to the intensity of the search for God. Look around you, and you see only the more presentable members. It is in this company that you will live your promises. And it's not going to change very much, except possibly for the worse. Today you bind yourself to convert yourself. You bind yourself to seek God. As the psalmist says, it is your face that I seek. Hide not your face. And let that be your prayer. Your promise makes this commitment explicit. It will shape the rest of your lives. You're not throwing your lives away. You will pour them out as Christ's lifeblood was poured out for us and for our salvation. The drier the ground, the more barren the desert, the more eager it is to soak up the life-giving water of love. Our world has something of the desert about it. Chesterton, when writing about promises, says that the man who makes a promise makes an appointment with himself at some distant time or place. And the danger is that he may not keep that appointment. At the same time, perhaps more than once, you will feel the tug on your collar of that leash with which the Lord will bind you today. You will be drawn in moments of aridity, of disenchantment, of simple exhaustion or bitterness. And you will be drawn to other joys and other satisfactions. The Lord will allow you some freedom. He wants joyful bosses and not surly bondservants. But at times you will be reminded by the tug on the leash that you are a dog of the Lord. These times often seem to be a threat. But as the struggle fades, we come to see them as moments of grace. I have learned more from my failures than I ever learned from my successes, which is just as well, because I am only too aware of my failures. The brethren, in their infinite charity, are very kind and pointing out to me. I have had very few similar notifications of my success from the brethren. But then I am still young, and I've only been been in New York for 26 years. I live in hope. Promises are not very much in fashion these days. And why is that? Again, Chesterton said that it is through fear of one's self. When people are frightened to make a promise, they're really frightened of themselves. They're inhibited by a deep distrust of themselves. We're all brought up to question people's motives. We're all post-Freudians now. We're all accustomed in this world of spin and hype to believe that everybody has an angle and that nobody and nothing is what appears to be the case. There's a more fundamental terror, though, and that is the fear of one's own weakness, the inconstancy, the changeableness that are in each one of us. We can't make a promise because we believe our lives and our world are just constantly changing. In a world in flux, it doesn't make sense to promise to be constant. Constancy, the binding of a promise, limits our freedom to be always changing, to operate in different roles, to be our own persons, to choose who we want to be. Constancy, so some people believe, is a chain imposed on us by the devil, instead of what it really is, which is a yoke consistently imposed on all lovers by themselves. It's in the nature of love to bind itself. Our world is a restless world. It's always looking for a certain exhilaration, a thrill, which we can only really have when we have the courage to cease our wandering and say, as the psalmist says, "Here is my resting place forever. Here have I chosen to live." And today that is what you will say in your promise. "Here is where I want to be. Here is my resting place. Here I have chosen to dwell." Our world is not a world that is a stranger to the idea of self-giving. But what it says is, let's have the splendor of offering ourselves without any danger of commitment. So, why do this? The answer lies in the Dominican constitutions. We imitate Christ in a special manner. We imitate Christ by delivering ourselves into the hands of sinful men, as he did, to fulfill our purpose of the good of the church, the people of God. What we do when we make a promise to pour out our lives is to imitate Christ in his magnificence. That same Christ who was St. Paul tells us, "Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich." Magnificence is a part of courage. It leads us to be brave enough to risk great expense, to prompt us to forget our fear of losing everything, to carry out a great project. We hazard what is precious to us in a great enterprise. What is most precious to us, other than our own life, our own will, our own security, our own way? You can't be obedient unless you are courageous. You can't make a promise unless you are drawn by the virtue of magnificence. What's the opposite of magnificence? What is the opposing vice? It's stinginess, meanness. Stinginess prompts us to hold back, to reckon the expense, and not the project. It causes us to try and hoard our resources, to protect our territory, to try to tailor providence to the cut of our own insecurities. You can only be a good Dominican if you have a taste for magnificence. If you have no taste for magnificence, be like me and acquire one. You will shortly make a promise. The Latin word from which our word promise comes has a variety of nuances. It means to engage, to allow to go forward, to send or put forth, to let grow, to give hope of. By engaging yourself in the self-giving of the ministry of the preacher, you will grow in the image of the one who created you. In being sent, you will return to him. And in returning to him, you will give hope to others whose faith is frail. You will promise to be true in a tradition, the tradition of Mary, the Mother of God, Blessed Dominic, our father, St. Augustine, our grandfather. This is your genealogy, your pedigree. You are pedigreed dogs of the Lord. It seems to me, as I've often said before, that in our postmodern world, people are always bewailing the crisis of authority which marks our time. I believe that we don't experience a crisis of authority so much as a crisis of authenticity. If you do not keep the promises you make today, if you cheat, nobody will know. But you will know. And that knowledge will destroy your hope and wound your faith. It's important that we are true for those who have lost the belief that that is possible. We can't compel people to be Catholics. We can't force people to believe. All we can do is show them what we believe and let them see the beauty of how we live. As William Wordsworth said, what we love, others will love, and we will show them how. Meister Eckhart tells us that a holy life encourages more people and in a greater way than words do. Never be afraid to be holy. What you promise today is to give up all claim to your lives so that the Lord may make them into his own work of art. As Eckhart says, the place on which I stand is very small. Yet however small it may be, it has to disappear if one is to seek God. It has to disappear if we are to seek God. All hiding places reveal God. If you want to escape God, he runs into your lap. What we love, others will love, and we will show them how. So actually, there is something to be said for promises.